Accession 27776, Mrs. Paula Sanders, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mrs. Sanders?
The 14th of December, 28, in East London.
And could you tell me a bit about your background? Because Sanders is your married name, isn't
it? Yes, yes. My maiden name was Paula Bernstein. My parents were born in this country of Eastern European stock. I have two sisters and a brother.
Tell us a bit about your childhood and what your parents did for a living.
My father worked in tailoring. He had a very, very hard job and he had a lot of difficulty until he opened a small factory manufacturing children's wear. But unfortunately, the war cut that short, as it did so many things. I vividly remember war being declared.
Hang on.
Oh.
Now, what I mean, were your family well off then or struggling?
Struggling. Struggling very, very much.
What type of house did you live in? I mean, give us
We lived in, we had a flat, a downstairs flat in a tenement house. In Hackney, and then we moved to Clapton, and we had a large house, and my parents let the upstairs to a very lovely elderly couple. And down the road, my grandmother moved to a house down the road with my six uncles and two aunts, and I think that was the happiest time of my life, and that was 1937. My school was next door, literally, so I could go out of school into my grandmother for tea and wait for my aunts and uncles to come home from work, and it was just wonderful. There again, the war put a stop to that.
Were you a Jewish family?
Yes, Jewish.
How observant were the family?
We weren't Orthodox. We observed the high holidays. My father went to synagogue occasionally. Well, we all did for the Passover and the Yom Kippur.
Now, well, tell me about your education and your first school before the war.
My education, I went to, I've forgotten the name of my school, it's ridiculous.
What type of school was it?
It was an elementary school. I started at 5 years old. I had a very bad stammer when I was a child, inherited from my father. He stammered badly. And I hated school. I really did. And then when we moved to Clapton, I went to North Ward Road School. I got on there a bit better. But it didn't last long because war was declared.
Now, did you have any idea that war was coming or were you aware of what was going on? I
mean, yes.
You had an Eastern European family, you know.
Yes, yes.
Were you aware of the rise of Hitler? I mean, you're 10, you're 9, 10. You know,
yes, for the simple reason that my uncle fought in the Spanish Civil War, and he went to Berlin for the Olympic Games. And when he came back, he told the family exactly what was going on. So we knew that awful things were happening. And I remember Chamberlain coming back from Germany with a piece of paper in his hand. And I was with my grandparents and my parents and the whole family sitting around the table when we heard Chamberlain's speech. And that there was going to be a war.
Now, how did you react? You're 10 years old, you know. I mean,
I was petrified, to be honest. I knew it was going to turn everything upside down, and it did.
And how about your family? How did they react?
They were very, very worried because my grandmother had family in Germany who were all annihilated, the whole lot, except one cousin who went to America, and she's still there. We correspond. And another cousin that went to Toronto, and he ended up as a very, very well-known electronics manufacturer, world famous. He's now dead. Otherwise, the whole lot were just wiped out.
Perhaps come back.
Yes.
To that. So you were worried then about them.
Very worried about the family there. I'm very worried about my family.
Now, how did the war change things in that first year? Because it's the phony war for a year till the bombing starts.
That's right, yes, yes.
How did the war affect you in the first instance?
I think we went on as before. I really can't remember.
So when do you start remembering? You remember when the real war started?
Yes, and then we were evacuated.
Now, where were you living during sort of when the bombing started?
Well, during the Phoney War, we were in Clapton, and then we moved to Stamford Hill. But I was evacuated from Clapton, from my school, with my sisters.
When was that? Straight away.
That must have been, I think, during 1939 or maybe 1940.
And where were you evacuated to?
My mother came along as well. We went to Biggleswade.
And what do you remember about that?
Oh, don't. That was quite a story.
Tell us about it.
We were billeted with a farmer's wife who had never encountered Jewish people. And she asked my mother if she had horns underneath her beautiful curly hair. Honest, I shall never forget that. And of course, my mother was so incensed, she got in touch with the billeting officer and asked to be moved. And he couldn't move us, so my father came down from London and found us a furnished flat or furnished house in Letchworth. And she moved there with us and her two sister-in-laws, and we shared a house there.
So you weren't, in a sense, you were only evacuated briefly before you moved into
your
own
place.
Yes,
it was only a few days, and my mother didn't want to stay there because she did make our life quite miserable.
How did she do it?
I really can't remember. I can just remember my mother telling me afterwards that the lady wasn't very nice and we were moving. But my mother was very upset because she cried every night.
Now, what was life like at Letchworth? What were you doing there?
Well, that was fine because my two aunts were there with their children and we sort of all mucked in. And from there, I was sent to boarding school with my sister because of my stammer. The doctor thought that it would do me good.
This is before you moved to Golders Green?
Yes, quite a long time.
The memoirs are sort of slightly jumbled then. Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but chronologically it is a bit difficult.
It is difficult, yeah.
It's now, a long time.
How long were you at Letchworth before you were sent to boarding school?
Not very long, and I was at boarding school for, I think, a year and a half.
Now, tell me about your time at boarding school. This is, I'm trying to find the name, Little Brick Hill Manor School.
That's right, yes. I think it's still there. It's a very lovely old house, which I did appreciate. It was beautiful. But things were very Spartan because there were so many shortages. And I missed my family. And I wasn't very happy.
Now, what sort of a school, how big was the school, you know, I mean, how...
Oh, I really can't remember. It was a girls' school, obviously. We slept in a dormitory, which I hated. And funny enough, every night I somehow managed to get a radio. And they played it... they played a song by Deanna Durbin, The Lights of Home, and I always remember that. And when I hear it now, I get very upset.
So you were pretty homesick.
Yeah, extremely, yeah.
I mean, did they realise, this isn't a Jewish school, did they make allowances?
I think so, yes, they treated us very nicely, but as I say, things were very Spartan, and I just missed home. And my sister was so homesick, this is why they eventually took us away.
Did you do well at that school? I presume not.
Not really, no.
Now, you were quite near Bletchley, weren't you? I mean,
yes.
The code bread, the Enigma code thing. Now, you've got a story about that. Do you want to tell us that story?
There was a tremendous fuss one night about 11 o'clock, I think. I looked out of the window and there were torches everywhere, in spite of the blackout. And I asked one of the staff what was going on, and she said they'd found a man's body in the lake. And I didn't think much. I mean, I thought it was dreadful, but I went back to sleep. But then in the morning, I saw a lot of military cars in the grounds and police. And somebody said, well, they thought it was a Nazi spy. And this Enigma place was not far away. So they put two and two together and came up with the thing that he could have been a Nazi spy trying to get into the military place, which was, you know, nearby.
Did you know about Bletchley Park, what was going on there?
Not really. The only thing that I knew, that when we were taken for walks, I mean, the whole school used to go for a walk through the woods, we used to see a lot of military, especially Americans, lots of Americans. And we were told there was a military base nearby and something else, very hush-hush. But nobody knew exactly what. And it didn't occur to me until I heard a lot of publicity about the Enigma place last year, I think, or the year before. Then I thought, my goodness, you know, could it have been that?
You weren't at the if there were Americans there, this must have been into 1941 then.
Possibly, yes.
And when did you come back to London? Where did you come back to London to? It looks like Golders Green.
No, before that we went on to Reading. I'm telling you, we were like gypsies. We went on to Reading because the tenancy of the house expired. You know, they couldn't renew it or something. And my aunts went back to London and we went on to Reading.
So did you stay at the school or did you...
No. I'm sorry, I left the school and went to the flat in Reading that my parents took.
And what about your education there?
They couldn't get me into school. I missed about 4 years of schooling in all, what can I say? I mean, I think it made a difference to my life. Maybe I could have gone on to do something more than secretary, shorthand typist, but there you go.
So anything happened while you were in Reading?
Nothing very much, no. No, my memories of Reading are not very vivid. I just remember going to pictures with my mother to see Dumbo, the Disney film, with my sisters. And after Reading, I think the family came back to London. They must have done.
And where is that? Where in London?
My father took a house in Golders Green because the house at Stamford Hill had been bombed. Oh, we were living at Stamford Hill before we went to Letchworth. I'm sorry about this. And that's where I saw the London docks alight. It was absolutely awful. It was terrible. Most awful night of our lives, I think.
Well, tell us about that then.
Well, the guns did not stop going off. There were planes everywhere, and it was like daylight with the light from the fires. And I mean, they were miles away because Stamford Hill is a long way from the London docks. But the whole sky was just an inferno. It was terrible. And we thought any moment we were going to get hit. There were so many planes. We were sleeping, well, not sleeping. We went to the Anderson shelter, which was very cramped and very damp and horrible. And we just stayed there.
Can you describe the Anderson, what it was like being in the Anderson shelter?
Very claustrophobic. It smelt of damp. I mean, my parents made it as comfortable as possible with blankets and we had a little light, a sort of a hurricane lamp, I think it was, and flasks of tea. And our parents told us stories to take our minds off the bombing, but, you know, it was just awful. Every so often there'd be a whiz of a bomb coming down, a tremendous explosion. Even now it makes me shake, to be honest. And after that, my father said, no, we're not staying here anymore. We've got to go to the tube at Hampstead. And we all trooped down to the tube in the evening, and it was horrible.
Now, when's this? When you were at Stamford Hill or Golders Green?
Oh, my God, hang on. We must have
Stamford
been at Golders
Green.
No, I know. I think after that, we moved to Golders Green because my father thought it might be safer.
Went to Letchworth or after?
This was after Letchworth.
Right. Okay.
So I'm a bit vague with dates. It's a long time.
So tell me about what was it like at the tube station? Which tube station did you go? Obviously
Hampstead.
Not Golders Green.
No. It's open. Yeah. Of course not. No, Hampstead was the first one along the line that was closed. That was underground.
Now, tell me exactly what it was like going to Hampstead tube station.
Awful. Because we slept on the platform, on blankets. But, I mean... It was very, very hard, very cold, very noisy. I mean, you couldn't sleep, it was impossible. people walking up and down, people talking, people laughing, people drinking, people shouting. And I mean, the auxiliary services were very good. The what do they call them? The Women's Auxiliary Service and the Salvation Army. They were extremely good. They came round with refreshments and drinks, and they tried to keep our spirits up. But I mean, the first night was an adventure, I must admit. But it soon paled after that. It wasn't an adventure. It was just a damn bore, and nasty and uncomfortable, smelly, horrible.
And another story about your time in Golders Green, it was when you got lost around the Hoop Lane area.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. Tell me
that was frightening. It wasn't interesting, it was frightening. We were walking from the station. I mean, we couldn't get, there was no transport, and we walked from the station, and we lived in the Medway, and we had to cut through Hoop Lane. And it was very foggy, and we were sort of going round in circles in the end. And my father said, no, we're in the right direction, and we'll go this way, we'll walk ahead. I don't know whether you know Hoop Lane, but there's a very large roundabout with a little coppice with seats. We found ourselves there, and we sat there for a little while, and then my father said, we walk ahead in that direction. But we didn't. We somehow found ourselves going backwards. And we went through a gate, still very quite foggy, and realized it was the entrance to the crematorium. And of course I was petrified, but my father said we'd better shelter here because the guns were starting to go because the fog was lifting a bit and we could hear planes overhead. So we sort of sheltered there. Eventually.
That's in the middle of the cemetery, isn't it? It's a large Jewish cemetery.
Yes, yeah, and the Jewish cemetery is opposite. The crematorium is opposite. It's
right, yeah.
It's on the other side. And we were sheltering in the sort of gateway. I don't know which gateway, I really don't. I think it was a gateway to a chapel. And we were sheltering there, and eventually we were able to get to where we lived at number 52. It was quite petrifying, it really was. And we got home safely. My mother was absolutely out of her mind, and we didn't have a telephone in those days, and even if we had have done, it wouldn't have done as much good. We didn't have mobiles. So
now, what about ordinary things about life? What about food rationing? How did that affect your life?
Food rationing, it did affect us, obviously, but fortunately I am a vegetable lover, so I used to sort of make myself rice and carrots and turnips and things, and I loved that. My mother did find it hard going. I mean, I think it was, what, two or three eggs a week or something, and it's very, very Spartan.
Did you miss things like, I mean, you were still only a little girl, really, 11 to 15,
yes.
16. Oh, well, you know, did you miss sweets and things like that? They always say children did, or
not
fruit,
really,
or?
No, I don't think I was a sweet person, a sweet lover, and I'm not to this day. But fruit, yes. I mean, we had no bananas. We were okay for apples and things because they were homegrown, and we had fruit trees in the gardens, and we were lucky there. But everything was rationed, very strictly.
What about clothes? I mean, did you have any sense of fashion or, you know, because very limited on what you could get?
Very, very limited. But no, my father, when my father had the factory, he made us siren suits, which it was a forerunner to what they wear today. It's just all of the jogging suits, I suppose, but they were all in one. The trousers and top were all in one, and you just got it, climbed into it and zipped it up. And he made me a few of those, and they were very handy. And and he did make most of our clothes as well when we were younger. And my mother was very, very handy. She was a very good seamstress, and she made most of our things, from what I can remember. Of course, when I was 16 or 17, and then I think things came off rationing, I believe, then I was able to buy things for myself. But that didn't worry me so much.
Now, how long, anything else you remember about your time in, well, it's Hampstead Garden Suburb, isn't it? Medway. Any Anything else you remember about your time there?
Yes, I do, but I don't know whether it's relevant. I went to school, I think in Child's Way, or Charles Hill, I can't remember, in the suburb. Not far from, I had to walk through a little forest to get to the school. And I had a schoolmaster, Mr. Lavender, and I do remember that he was very, very badly disfigured. I was told he was in an air raid and his face had got burnt. But he wasn't a nice person because he used to interfere with the girls. And one day he sat next to me to show me how to do some kind of a project, and he put his arm around me and his hand wasn't in the place it should be. So of course I just pushed him away and I said, I'm going to tell my mother. And I ran out of the class and ran home crying. My mother came up to the school and he was dismissed. And of course they realized that he was doing it to everybody. And after that, I wouldn't go back to school. And then I think it was shortly after that that my father decided to move us to Hornchurch, where he opened a business.
What was that in?
He had a valet service on the borders of the aerodrome. And he used to do the officers' uniforms, clean them and press them, and for all the staff there. Oh, sorry. Incidentally,
did you help him with that? Because you'd be getting to the age, if you weren't at school, you could...
Yes, I did help him with that, yes. And
tell us a bit about it. So how did it all work?
They used to come in and have press-ups. He used to press the uniform, have them cleaned, send them off to a cleaner's in East London. I don't know how he got there, to be honest, but anyway, he used to go up with a van or something and bring them back and make them look very nice for them. And I used to help in the shop. I used to write out the cleaning tags and that kind of thing, and my mother did the alterations. I must add that my father did volunteer, although he was a little old, but as he had flat feet and duodenal ulcers, they wouldn't take him. So he did his bit as a firefighter and air raid warden.
Do you remember much about what he did?
Oh, yes. He used to have the stirrup pump and put the fires out, and he was on duty quite a lot, actually, at night. And with the business, I used to meet loads of the pilots, very, very nice bunch of boys. And when one of them didn't come back, we all knew about it, and it was heartbreaking. They were lovely, lovely chaps. Can I also tell you about my father's exploits?
Yes.
Later on, I mean, after he gave up the business, he worked in Australia House. This was also during the war, but the latter part of the war. And I met most of the celebrities of the day there. Tommy Trinder and Shelton. I could go on
what
and on.
What was Australia House? Sorry.
Well, it was the headquarters of the Australian forces in London. And... everything Australia, you know, everything to do with Australia.
It's the embassy, or
yeah. Not an embassy. Just it's called Australia House, and they had.
What was your father doing there?
Oh, he was doing a valet service as well, looking after their clothes, and he was quite a favourite. I've got a photograph of him somewhere with a great big Aussie hat on, with all the boys standing there in their underpants. It's quite funny. I know I'm digressing, but with his business, I stayed there until I was 16, and then I took a commercial course.
Now, what about, there must have been a fair amount of bombing around Hornchurch. Were you aware of it?
Very much so.
Tell us about that, then.
Well, I mean, it was by that time, I think it was the doodlebugs. And a house opposite us was destroyed. And before that, I was nearly machine gunned. I was doing some errands for my mother. And I was standing outside the baker shop. Plane came over and came down very low. At first, we thought it was one of ours because going into the aerodrome, into the airfield. And then a man realized it wasn't. And he said, for God's sake, get down. He threw me to the ground and covered me. And the pilot was just machine gunning. I've never been so scared in my life. This is in Elm Park, which is next to Hornchurch. We lived in Elm Park, and the business was in Hornchurch, my father's business. We lived in Elm Park, and the aerodrome stretched from Hornchurch to Elm Park. It was huge, a huge place. And well, thanks to that man, whoever he was, I survived. A couple of people were wounded, were injured. And it was just horrifying. And when I got home, my mother said, "Look at you, what's happened?" Of course, when I told her, she couldn't believe it.
Now, what about the V1s? What were the, I know you've got one story about them, but before we go into that, I mean, how much trouble did you have with the doodle bugs, the V1s?
They were horrific, absolutely, because when the engine stopped, you didn't know where they were going to land. And we had one opposite our house, literally opposite. My father used to sleep stand guard on the staircase while my mother and I slept behind an enormous sideboard, very old-fashioned sideboard, very, very solid, and he put us behind there. And on this particular night, instead of sitting on the stairs, he came in and sat in an armchair near us. If he would have been on the stairs, he would have been killed because the front door was found upstairs. The blast had pushed the front door upstairs, so he would have gone with it. The house opposite was totally wrecked, and I went over with my father. Luckily, the people were away. I went over with my dad to see if we could do anything, and I got a nail in my foot. So, of course, he made me go back home, and luckily my foot wasn't affected too badly. And then after that, my father said, enough is enough. My two sisters were evacuated at the time to Birmingham, and he sent my mother and myself to Birmingham.
Now, I thought there was an incident where your mother had a miscarriage.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wasn't that then?
Yes, it was then. It was round about then, yes.